Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, Ethan, Justin, and I discuss whether or not natives really make better teachers. There's a lot of controversy surrounding this topic called native speakerism, and so we discuss the advantages of having a non-native English teacher, as well as the advantages of having a native English teacher. It really goes beyond just having English as a first language, and we hope that this podcast will help you to make an informed decision when choosing your teacher. And as always, be sure to check out our Instagram at reallife.english for some bonus information as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Aw yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and even...
exceptional.
So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, teaching your puppy a new trick, or even...
taking a sunrise walk on the beach.
I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio by the man who never misspells a word. If he does happen to spell something wrong, then Oxford simply changes the spelling. Justin Murray.
That's very true.
And as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you.
So, Justin, do you want to quickly explain what that joke means?
Well, spell check is basically when the system, for example, Microsoft Word, the program that you use to type, it checks your spelling, it will correct you, right? But in this case, if I make a mistake, then Microsoft Word will correct the English language, right?
Or Oxford, very famous dictionary all over the world, right?
Yep.
So Andrea, do you want to let people know what we're going to be talking about today?
So today we're going to be talking about whether or not natives make the best teachers, really, because lots of people have a preference of wanting a native English person to be their teacher. However, there are so many non-native teachers out there as well that are fantastic too. So we're going to be discussing this interesting topic. I don't want to give too much away right now, so I won't go into it too much more. But if you continue listening, there'll be some interesting thoughts for sure.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of the biggest myths in the world of English as a second language. So hopefully it's one that we're going to debunk in today's podcast.
What does debunk mean?
Debunk means that you basically show that a myth isn't actually true. So maybe there is some truth to it and some things that aren't true, and hopefully will open your mind to new ways of thinking about who should be teaching you English. So that said, before we get ahead of ourselves, as Andrea pointed out, let's jump into today's shout out.
So today's shout out comes from Saori Ito from Japan. And it's titled, No Real Life English, No English in My Life. And he says, hi, I enjoy listening to real life podcasts every day. Last month, I received feedback from my English exam that shows how much I've improved my listening skills in a fun way. I didn't use a lot of my time to study for the exam. As I am an English learner, I've been taking this exam since 2015. I was struggling to reach 400 for the listening part for 5 years, but finally I received a mark of 420. Real life podcasts changing my English life dramatically. My English skills have improved slowly but surely. I don't find it difficult to listen to my foreign friends or neighbors now, so I can continue smoothly more than before. I believe strongly in improving listening skills as it improves communication skills simultaneously. To me, if there's no real life English, there's no English in my life. I can't thank you enough to Ethan, Andrea, Justin, and the Real Life English team. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow is right. That is a very impressive shout out. And it's really great to hear, Saori Ito, that you've been able to, I think, with some hard work, I think you have to give yourself credit where credit is due. And I'm glad that we could help you along your journey. So if our podcast has helped you as well, then, you know, please let people know by going and giving us a shout out, help more people to learn with us. And you can do this by heading over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening. And by leaving us a 5-star review, you're helping people from all over the world to revolutionize their English listening, just like our fan here in Japan. So that said, I think we have a pretty amazing quote to share with y'all.
Okay, so today's quote is, "One language sets you in a corridor for life. Two languages open every door along the way," by Frank Smith.
So what's a corridor?
A corridor is a hallway, right? So I chose this quote because really for me, it's been like that. I'm a native English speaker, and it's really important that I learned that I've been learning other languages because it really opened my mind to the world. And so I think in the whole question of whether a teacher is better as a native or a non-native, I definitely think that any native teacher that's teaching you English, if they've never learned a language, if they've never opened their mind to the different doors in the hallway of languages, then I think they're really hamstrung. They're really limited in their ability to teach you. So definitely, if you're ever looking for a teacher, a native teacher, if they've learned another language, it really, really helps their teaching because they're going to have much more empathy. They're going to have a much bigger perspective for language learning, for culture, and for everything else.
That is so true. That's very similar to another quote that I love. I believe it's from Nelson Mandela. It says, when you speak to a man in a language that he understands, that goes to his head. But when you speak to him in his language, that goes to his heart. And maybe that's like a little bit of a different message because I think it's more about, you know, when you're able to like learn another language and speak to a native speaker of that language, maybe he perceives what you're saying to him in a little bit of a different way than he does if you're using maybe another language. But I think that what you said about empathy is absolutely true, is that like if you haven't been through that journey yourself as a teacher, then it's really hard for you to actually understand what that person's going through, whether it's a native teacher or a non-native teacher. And I think some of the best teachers out there, maybe they've even learned several languages, so they're kind of open to all of the different possibilities there.
And we talk a lot about global citizenship here on this podcast all the time, actually. And we say like learning English is an important master key to becoming a global citizen. You can learn another language. That really helps you get that multidimensional perspective. But for a native English speaker, a lot of times, I mean, you always need to travel, open your mind to different cultures and different worlds.
Totally. So I think that's the perfect springboard into today's main conversation. So, Andrea, what is native speakerism? That's what we're talking about today, right? And I think that's maybe a technical term some people in the field of English as a second language give to this topic.
Yeah, so basically it's all about native teachers being in high demand. Like for example, in the European Union, advertisements for native speakers are actually illegal because they're quite discriminatory when you think about it. So technically, if you're looking for a job as a teacher, if you're reading an ad, it shouldn't really specify that native speakers are wanted because of course that's discriminatory. However, there is this feeling at the moment and this demand for native teachers, and we're here to talk about maybe why that is discriminatory, why you don't necessarily need a native teacher, and you know, why do people want native teachers? What's the reasoning behind it?
It's really interesting that both those points that you brought up, and that's definitely what we're going to be talking all about. But I kind of had to also point out something. There were a couple of words that you said very different than I think Justin and I would say it. So the full word of ad, how would you say that?
Advertisement.
So an American would say that advertisement.
Yes.
You'd say it the same way, right, Justin?
Yep.
And I believe you guys shorten it a different way as well sometimes, right? You'll say like an advert.
We do. Yeah, we would usually call it an advert. Would you just mm-hmm. say ad?
Just ad, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ones that was really interesting. And then I already knew that one, but I didn't actually know the other one until you just said it. So I would say discriminatory. How would you say that?
Oh, discriminatory.
There you go. So it's like completely different emphasis, right?
Yeah, totally. I didn't know that one either. I didn't even realize it. I didn't know I was going to be tested.
So that's just kind of like a little side note there for anyone, if you're listening and you're wanting to learn more about British or American English, maybe those are two pronunciation notes for you, but that's a bit of a tangent. So kind of jumping back into the main topic, I think that definitely like we talked about at the start that this is kind of like a myth. And I think there are times when it is better to have a native speaker. I think depending maybe on your objectives in your learning, that can definitely be what you're going to need. But I think that it is a myth. And like, you know, everyone kind of like always searching for a native or always thinking that natives are better or should get paid more, it's certainly not always getting at the actual truth of the matter, right?
One thing I would argue, though, on one end of the spectrum, people believe that natives are a magic bullet, that they're going to solve all their problems, that you hire a native speaker and they're going to give you the English language spoon-fed. But that's just really not true. On the other end of the spectrum, there are a lot of people that say there's no difference. It's exactly the same. And I disagree with that, definitely. A lot of people that actually use the term native speakerism, they associate it with racism. And I don't really agree with a lot of that. I think there is differences. There are important differences. And I think we should respect the ways that non-native speakers are better and the way that native speakers are better too. That's my opinion. So the final point on this, I believe, and I think this is pretty self-evident, is that it doesn't matter if you're native or non-native, you must be a great teacher. And I think really coming back to the whole idea of like what makes a great teacher. So just really quickly, what would you guys say are the most important things for a great teacher, native or non-native?
I mean, I think it depends on your goals, maybe, which we can talk more about those differences. But obviously it's like kind of the actually having put in the experience and the work. I think a big part of it that maybe non-natives, you might find more people who this is true of, is the actual passion behind it. Because I think with native speakers, the thing that happens a lot is it's kind of like a means to an end, which by that I mean that it's a way that's very simple, which might be for a lot of us, like the reason we first got into teaching, is like it's a really great way to be able to travel. And it's like you can, you know, go to different places and you can work teaching English. And many people do this. And not all of them necessarily will actually enjoy teaching English. Not all of them will actually invest themselves in becoming a great teacher. So I think that you definitely need to take with a grain of salt that a person's a native and see if they've actually, are they actually passionate about it and have they actually put that work in?
I definitely agree, especially with someone, you want someone that's passionate about what they're teaching. And I also think experience is really important as well, especially with learning a language. And you mentioned earlier as well that empathy is important. So, you know, if you do have a teacher that is a language learner themselves, then they're really going to be able to empathize more with you. And, you know, they'll probably be able to teach you in different ways and explain things in different ways as well, so that you'll really get more out of it.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up. Now, let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
If they're a teacher of your language too, I think that can be really important because you can get some of the advantages of having a non-native teacher teach you from your country because they understand exactly what you're thinking, the roadblocks that you can run into, and really teach from where you're at.
Yeah. Especially if you see that they've been really successful, because I don't know, you just think, for example, maybe with pronunciation, maybe there's some sound in English from your language that's really difficult because it doesn't exist in your language. But if you have like a really great non-native teacher who comes from your same language, they've had to overcome that and they've been able to maybe master that bit of pronunciation, then they can kind of show you the way to do that and everything. Whereas a native might not actually have been through that journey himself, and he might have a lot more trouble actually helping you to overcome that barrier.
Okay, so summarizing the previous point, being a native doesn't really make you a good teacher. It takes you passion, dedication, learning, motivation, and experience to really be a great teacher.
That said, what would you say are some of the advantages of a that we haven't already mentioned yet? What are some of the advantages of being a non-native?
I'd say besides what we already said, like professional development is one. You know, most non-native teachers that I know, they've actually really studied and spent a lot of time developing their craft as teachers. Besides their own language learning, really good teachers, they go to conferences, they get certificates, they spend time teaching, being mentored by people, and there's no replacement for that.
I think too, like a lot of those, like the same, a lot of the really great non-native teachers I've met, they've done a lot of the work of like getting their elbows dirty, which by that I mean that they've actually like experimented. They've been very curious. Like they've, I've met so many of them that maybe have like watched different TV series, and they've, you know, we teach through TV series, but like just kind of like they were interested in being able to watch some TV series, and they kind of like found the way to be able to like understand then and to learn with it and improve in that way. Or maybe one of the guys who works with us actually, Max, is I know like, and he kind of like started his journey that he was really interested in rap, and I know that was like a big assistance to him in learning, and now he's done a lot of work since then. But I think like kind of that foundation came from just like a place of passion and everything has made him a really excellent teacher.
Yeah, I think many will just have a lot of different creative ways of learning the language as well that can really help. Not that native teachers don't, but when we speak a little bit more about this as well, we'll just see how definitely, you know, if you're learning the language yourself or you're interested in languages, you definitely develop these creative ways of teaching as well.
I think another aspect that's really important for non-native teachers, when you're teaching people in your native language, for example, beginners or people lower level learners, you can really connect with them and motivate them from that cultural perspective as well, because a lot of the lower level classes you're going to be teaching from the learner's first language, right? So really be able to connect with them, build that rapport.
What's rapport?
Rapport is like ultimately the connection, the synergy that two people have, that feeling of liking each other and getting along. So a teacher teaching beginners, being able to build that rapport, it's much easier in that in that native language a lot of times. So if the teacher can speak that native language and speak that native culture, then that can really help pass the vision and the motivation for that language.
I think that there are times though, whether you're talking about like a native or a non-native, it's like, again, it kind of comes down to what's the work that they put in. Because obviously this isn't saying that a non-native teacher will always be able to like play that role that we're talking about if they haven't put that work in. I mean, I've seen a lot of non-native teachers that, you know, maybe it's just like a job for them and they don't actually have like the really good experience. And maybe in some sense, it's kind of like they're just giving a model of mediocrity. And maybe that's something that kind of like sours people to learning with non-natives. I know a lot of people here, for example, who that was kind of like their experience maybe in high school, is that their teacher was a non-native and it wasn't someone who really knew how to speak the language. And they spoke it with like a very strong accent. And so maybe it just put this idea in their head that it's like, oh, I need a native because, you know, these non-natives, they're not good enough. But when you're actually able to find a great teacher, whether it's a non-native or native, I think it's kind of up to you to do that work to like, you know, vet that person. But if you actually do that and you find a really great teacher, then, you know, I think a non-native, it's going to be able to offer you a lot of the things that we've been talking about.
What does vet mean?
To vet, it's like maybe if you're hiring someone, for example, you're kind of like checking your references, you're checking to make sure that they actually have the credentials, they actually have the experience that they say that they do.
Another important thing about that is I found a lot of language learners and the language that they're learning, they kind of get this attachment to the theoretical part of the language. So they might be like overly critical of mistakes. Like I've seen people like stand on the outside watching somebody else speak and be like, haha, that person made that mistake. Or, you know, they're kind of criticizing them in a way about mistakes that aren't really that important. Whereas a native speaker, even that same teacher listening to somebody speak their native language to them as a second language, they might be more accepting of that person's mistakes. So it's really important. A native speaker oftentimes is more accepting because they're like, well, the person's communicating. That's the most important thing. The mistakes are kind of secondary.
Most certainly.
That's true. That's a really good point. And I think that's something that certain people focus on. But like you said, it's not like what's important. The most important is to try and communicate. And, you know, mistakes are part of learning.
Another thing which I think non-natives oftentimes aren't as good is, I mean, pronunciation. Some people say that's a myth. And there are like really a small percentage of learners who master the English language at a native-like level and can teach pronunciation really, really well. And they model the culture and everything, but that's very, very rare. And a native speaker is a walking model of pronunciation, is a walking model of vocabulary and culture. So definitely for advanced students, that can be kind of hard to replace unless you have a really good non-native speaker teacher.
Yeah. I think like I said before, I think in some sense, sometimes maybe a non-native, if they do have that really good pronunciation, maybe they can be a better teacher because they've been able to develop that from the same language, and they'll know how to help you to do that. Whereas maybe a native, maybe if they've learned your native language, maybe they know more where you're coming from, but it might be more difficult. But I do think at the same time, kind of like saying that a native is like a walking example of pronunciation, it's like, okay, but where's this person from? Because like maybe depending where you come from, the pronunciation could be very different. And like even just same parts of the same country, we've kind of, Andrea and I have talked about this a lot, that, you know, you go 20 minutes in your car somewhere in England and you're like a completely new accent, and like they might say like different vowels in different ways or things like this. And I think like the base of English obviously is the same. So like having that schwa is like the most important sound, I think, in probably virtually every accent of English. So, you know, any native will be able to teach you that. But thinking that they're always going to be able to teach you better pronunciation, maybe it's not necessarily true. I mean, it's, again, it kind of comes down to what are your goals? Like if it's, you really want to go live specifically in New York City, maybe it's good to have a teacher from New York City who can, you know, teach you how people speak there, and they prepare you for that. But if you just want it because you need to speak in your job to people from Brazil and Germany and Taiwan, then, you know, maybe a non-native will suit you just fine, as long as you're able to kind of like communicate in a way that's clear and easily understood.
And I would go back to just mentioning we talked about earlier, most native speakers aren't teaching English as their life passion. So You might find some of them that are really passionate about it, and I think we are. But in general, I think a lot of native teachers only do it because they have to, or because it's to fill a gap in their life when they're traveling or something. But that's important to take into account, because somebody who has learned and trained and really made it their craft can do all these things we're talking about at a really high level, and it's probably better.
So out of curiosity, Ethan, what do you think you should be looking for when you are deciding who you want your teacher to be, or what you're looking for in a teacher?
Well, I think that definitely if you're searching for a teacher, we've talked about a lot of the things that are important, but maybe those are not so, they're easier said than like actually found. But I think that's something that's like really important, is like actually maybe asking them about their journey, you know, like their teaching journey, what their experience has been like, and just saying like, how do they tell that? Like, do they kind of like light up when they're telling that story? Can you just like kind of tell their passion behind that? Or is it like just the story that's like, you know, like, oh, well, it's really great for like traveling or something like that. Then you don't really see them like lighting up, or you don't really see the actual like passion about the language, or them seeing it as being something that they'll be doing into the future. Then maybe you could say, okay, maybe I'm going to continue my search. I think also it can be really good at some different websites if you are going that route to find a teacher, and especially nowadays with COVID happening and everything, maybe more and more people are taking their learning online. So if you're getting like an online teacher, then a lot of these different platforms that allow you to actually like take a trial class. So you could even potentially, it's something I've done in the past, is like found a few different teachers and done a few trial classes, and then decided on the one that, as Justin was saying, that I had like the best rapport with, and it also just seemed like they were really like passionate about it, and that they would be really able to help me with my goals.
I think it really boils down to what you want to achieve, what your goals are, and what's important to you in that moment when you're looking for a teacher. And, you know, if experience is really important to you, then, you know, you can look for that in your teacher. You can kind of ask them how they would help you with the particular problem or goal that you have. And then there are many people that just want to practice conversation. So maybe for them, it's not important if their teacher is highly qualified. Maybe also they don't mind who they're speaking to. So they don't mind if it's a native or a non-native. And I think it just depends on the person, right?
And a lot of times I think it's just important to just have conversations, right? You just want conversational classes. And oftentimes, maybe you don't even want like a teacher to be like a long-term teacher. Like Cambly, for example, is a website where you can go. And I don't think the teachers are so well-trained on that website, but maybe it might make sense for you just to have a conversation and tell your story many times.
Could be great for your confidence at the very least.
Yeah.
And Justin, like, first of all, how would you recommend someone kind of like figure out, you know, what should be their goals for learning? What's the best way to kind of like identify their purpose? And then based on that, how do they decide if they want a non-native or a native teacher?
Oh, that's a really big question. I think it kind of goes back to like, you know, starting with why. You know, why are you learning English? You know, just doing a brainstorm there. If it's for a job, where you at? Where you're at in your own English learning journey, right? So are you a beginner, intermediate, advanced? And just looking at your options, going around and talking to people. I think knowing what's available, having a base of experience to compare, I think that's really important. So definitely, I think having a native speaker teacher can oftentimes be good, because I don't know why this happens, but compared to somebody from your own native language, it can often kind of be the psychological trigger in your mind when you're around somebody from that language. It's just causes you to kind of be in the orbit of that culture almost, and you're able to speak more confidently. I don't know if it's because sometimes when you're speaking a second language with somebody from your own language, from your own native language, there's this gravity pulling you back to speak your native language. But when you're with somebody who doesn't speak your language or who is from a different culture, you kind of are motivated to speak that language. So if you're an advanced learner, that could be a good reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Although on the flip side of that, I think I've heard some people say that maybe they feel more timid, or they get like more scared to speak to a native, even if it's like a native teacher who has experience and like they make you feel comfortable and stuff. I know like a lot of people, they'll be more self-conscious, for example, about making a mistake than they might be with someone who speaks their own language.
Well, then I would ask, like, at that point, is that a barrier you need to get over but with more practice, or do you just need to practice mm-hmm. more and just feel comfortable?
Yeah, it might be a good reason to choose the native if that's your case, because it's probably like a fear that you should work on overcoming. But do you think that like if someone's goal isn't actually to go live in the United States or the UK, or to be working in a company where they'll be having like meetings with people from those countries, do you think that it's still valuable to be learning with a native? And if so, then what is that value?
I would say, yeah, definitely. There is value. I mean, because you're probably practicing your, I mean, there's this idea that native speakers are more difficult to understand. And if that's true, which I think it is in some cases, then that's, you're also practicing your listening while you're practicing your speaking at the same time. You can practice your listening with podcasts, with TV shows, with lots of other audio materials, but you can have that direct feedback from a native speaker. And of course, it depends on the level of the non-native speaker that you're with, because usually native speakers generally have technically have better English as far as grammar, and so they can give you better feedback, depending on, of course, who you're comparing this to.
Yeah, depending how good they are at actually like explaining uh-huh. that things, because I think like most native speakers have no idea how to talk about grammar or anything. It's probably, you can just think about your own language, whatever your mother tongue is. And if you were talking to someone who's learning that and they asked you a grammatical question, then you probably would kind of feel like you don't really know how to explain that. So that's the case for most English speakers. So you have to have someone who really knows what they're talking about. But something you just said, Justin, that we didn't touch on about like a non-native English teacher, or even just like making friends who are non-natives and like practicing with them. You said kind of like about having the input and the output. So I think like a lot of people think that by having conversations with people who aren't natives, it's going to like toxify their pronunciation or their speaking. Maybe they'll make more mistakes. So do you think that that's true, or what can people do to balance that out?
Well, if you're not practicing very much, if you're not practicing your listening very much, and the only contact you're getting with native speech is through speaking with natives, you're going to pay a lot of money really to get to the listening level that you want to have that level of contact, when really there's so much native audio out there that you can just practice in your own free time with podcasts, with TV shows, with movies and music and all this stuff, improve your listening and speaking with a non-native to practice your speaking, to become more confident, more fluent in your thinking, is far better to practice with a non-native than nobody. Of course, if you have access to native speakers, lots of native speakers to really get the practice you need for speaking, then do that, of course. It's great.
Yeah, I think the most important is just to be practicing speaking. So whichever way you can do that, that's really important. And then you can supplement that in many other ways. Like you mentioned, Justin, there's so much out there that you can consume that's native English. So especially your listening can be that, and that's really going to help you even with your speaking. So what you're consuming when you're listening, you can then go off and practice with a non-native English speaker and just build up your confidence with that, and study in different ways as well. Like you said, it's better than nothing. It's just important to be practicing and actually speaking.
It's way better than nothing. And I would come back to our mission. The mission of Real Life English is to guide learners beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. And real world fluency for us means that you can understand natives, means that you can communicate effectively with anyone, not just natives, but the three times as many non-native speakers in the world, and to connect to the world, not just native countries, but the world. And if you can do that, if you can connect across cultures and communicate with people and understand natives, then you have real world fluency.
Mm-hmm. And I think like having a great native teacher or non-native teacher is going to help you to get there. So as always, thanks for joining us here on the Real Life English Podcast. And we look forward to seeing you for another amazing conversation next week.
Yeah.
Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning Series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.